Okay, I don't know if, maybe not, Knox, maybe I wasn't paying attention, but we're going to be here next Sunday, and then we're going to be off for two consecutive Sundays because of Christmas and just kind of the way New Year's falls. So I think then we will reconvene, what's the date we're going to reconvene? The 12th or something like that?
Yeah, the 11th.
The 11th. Okay. Yes.
It may just be me, but your voice sounds muffled.
My voice sounds muffled. Maybe it's because I've got too many gizmos. Muffle one, muffle two. Okay, there. Okay, so good morning. I appreciate y'all being here in the cold and avoiding the marathon runners and all that. So we are still, as you know, we're in John. We will be in John for still quite a bit. We find ourselves this morning in John 18, which we were in last week as well. So let me pray once again and we'll get started. Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, is just driving around in Texas has fall foliage in late December, but Lord, it's just so beautiful, your creation. We thank you for this great privilege, Lord, to be able to meet and worship in safety. It makes us want to pray more for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, Lord, where they don't have that same luxury. We pray, Holy Spirit, but that what we all do share is the living Word of God. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you're the teacher. You're the one that opens our eyes to the truth. And we pray that you would be present this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a couple of things just to always like to emphasize, because in John's gospel, very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all began with a genealogy of some kind. What John wants to do is he's not emphasizing the humanity of Christ, which has been the kind of the theme with Mark, that he is fully God, fully man. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are emphasizing differently. What John wants you to know right out of the gate is he says, the Word was with God, the Word is God. And he's just saying, I want you to know right out of the gate that Jesus, who was a man, is fully God. And so if you look at the Gospel of John, it's got 21 chapters. The first 12 chapters cover all of Jesus's life up to getting ready to be crucified. So starting in John 13 is where the upper room discourse begins. And so John slows everything down. And so you've got chapter 13 through 16 is the whole Last Supper. Chapter 17 is a long prayer. It's his high priestly prayer, Jesus praying for his disciples and by extension praying for all of us. And then 18 is when he gets arrested, and that's where we are. And we started that last week in chapter 18. And so we're going to cover a section of John chapter 18, 12 to 28, and then I'm going to pull in John, part of John chapter 21. So here we go. I'm going to start in Psalm chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. It says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart, cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. And the reason I'm using this verse is because you're going to see a great example of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Jewish opposition against Jesus, and that the Lord looks at their plans and laughs. John chapter 11, we're told, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did. So the context is a lot of Jewish people came from Jerusalem over to where Martha and Mary were because their brother Lazarus had died. And so what Jesus does, you know, because we looked at it and knew this, is that Jesus Lazarus come out. So Lazarus is dead for several days. He comes out, and then we're told that many of the Jews who had come with Mary had seen what he did, and they believed in him. So a lot of Jewish people saw that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, they like, we believe that this guy is God. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So they did not have eyes to see. All they said is that, hey, he raised this guy Lazarus. So the chief priest, that's the Sadducees, and the Pharisees gathered the council, which is the Sanhedrin, the 70 people that run the country religiously, and they have a meeting. And the question of their meeting is, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. That's their motivation, is to take Jesus out, is they didn't want to lose their status and lose their power they have by the Romans. So one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, and he served from AD 18 to 36, the longest serving high priest. Couple of things on the high priest. The high priest were picked in the Old Testament according to prayer and casting of lots, and God was sovereign over who the high priest would be. It got totally hijacked with the Romans. The Romans said, hey, we get to appoint who the high priest is. And it usually was whoever paid the most money. The Roman governor would say, you can be the high priest. So Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, so this Sanhedrin council, you guys, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. And so what we're told, John says, he did not say this on his own accord, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied without knowing it. He prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. That would include us. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. So they're making plans to put Jesus to death. The Lord looks and laughs in derision. Mark chapter 14 shows us their planning. Now it was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests, the scribes, were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth. We need to arrest him secretly. He's already done the triumphant entry in, and everybody's going, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the Lord. So we've got to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, but this is our plan. We need to arrest him by stealth, and we're going to kill him, but not during the Feast of the Passover, lest there be an uproar from the people. Well, God's calendar from beginning of the foundation of the world is Jesus was going to enter Jerusalem when he did. He is going to be arrested, and he was going to be crucified on the Passover because he was the Lamb without blemish before the foundation of the world. So their plan didn't matter. God looks and laughs in derision. Mark chapter 14, 10. Now Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. Jesus picked a whole bunch of disciples, of which Judas was one. And then Jesus, we're told, he picked 12 out of this group of disciples, and Judas was one of the 12 that he picked. And it's not that Jesus was bad with knowing people. He knew exactly, as we're going to see. So Judas is all along. Jesus even made him the treasurer, and he was a thief, and he would steal money and all this stuff. And so when Lazarus has been raised from the dead, Jesus and the disciples are back in Bethany getting ready to go into Passion Week, and Mary comes in and anoints Jesus' feet with expensive perfume. Judas gets up and protests. That should have been given to the poor and all that stuff. And then Jesus says, rebukes him, but just says, she's anointed me. And he's basically, Judas leaves that dinner party and goes to the religious leaders because he's like, he's not the Messiah that I thought he was. He's not the Messiah that's going to come overthrow the Romans. He's a Messiah that says he's going to die. And that's not my Messiah. So he said he went to the chief priests and scribes seeking how to, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they, the religious leaders, heard it, they were glad and they promised to give him money. And Judas sought an opportunity to betray him. So part of what our lesson is in today is you've got Judas who betrays Jesus. And then we're going to look at Peter who denied Jesus. And so they're not equivalent. They're different because a lot of people have asked about that. So let me hopefully make this a little more clear. John chapter 6 says, it is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. And then we're told by John, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe in him, and then specifically who it was who would betray him, Judas. And he said, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. So Judas was in proximity to Jesus, but he wasn't granted by the Father. John 6, he says a little bit later, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he was one of the 12 who was going to betray him. So the Bible makes it extremely clear that Judas is not a backslidden believer. Judas was never a believer. Matthew chapter 16, Simon Peter, who's we're going to look at his denial, because this is in this same, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is Messiah, Son of the living God. He understood who Jesus was, and Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So you've got two categories. You've got Judas, who's not a believer, and you have Peter, who is a believer. Matthew 26, then Jesus said to them, this is Matthew's version of the Last Supper. They're all complementary. It's just that different ones are emphasizing different things. So Jesus said to them, you will fall away because of me this very night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, okay, though they all fall away. So just think about it, you're in there with the other disciples. Judas has already left. He says, though all these other guys, they're going to fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And then we're told, and all the other disciples said the same thing. They're like, we're all in. We're all in. John chapter 18, which we looked at this last week just to kind of get it in your mind, the setting, is they finished the Last Supper. They've walked across the Kidron Valley. They're heading into the garden. Jesus is there. He takes Peter, James, and John, pulls them aside. He says, stay awake, pray for me. I'm going to go over here and pray. And that's where Jesus is talking to the Father, and then he comes back. And so this is, they estimate, at this point, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And it said, now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, this is the opportune time that Judas was looking for. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers, and I wanted to just review this, that would have been Roman soldiers. The word procured a band is a cohort, which is a Roman, it means 600 soldiers, but I don't think there are that many. And then some officers, which the officers would be the temple police, who were Levites. And then the chief priest, with the chief priests were Sadducees. And then you had the Pharisees. So this whole entourage, this mob with lanterns and torches and weapons. So we pick up chapter 18 here. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. We looked last week when Jesus comes out and they go, "Who are you looking for?" "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am." And they all fell face first onto the dirt. So now they've arrested him, they bound him, and they take him, led him to Annas. Annas was the chief priest. He is Caiaphas's father-in-law. His father-in-law. So Annas was the high priest from AD 6 to 15, appointed by the Romans. For he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another of the disciples. Now, you know, in the garden, right before they arrested him, you know, Peter pulls out his sword, cuts off the guy's ear. Malchus the servant, Jesus says, "Here, let me just put that ear back on," and then they arrest him. So Peter is seeing all this. He's the only one that, they only had two swords that were told in Scripture. And then Jesus says, "Hey, stop, I've got to drink this cup." We're talking about God's wrath. You're not going to prevent that. So now Judas is very discombobulated, and he said, "Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple," which is John. John's always saying the disciple who Jesus loved. That's John. And so this is just another way of him writing and talking about himself. "And so did another disciple. Since that disciple, John, was known to the high priest." So you go, how did he know that? Well, Josephus and some of those other guys, this is what they thought on this. John was a commercial fisherman, and he was probably most likely providing fish for the high priest. That's a probability, possibility. So he was known to the high priest, so he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood outside the door. So the high priest had a place that was basically a joint on the Temple Mount. It was a palace, and they had a courtyard. And so there was a door that led into the courtyard, and then there was the actual house itself. And so John is invited into the courtyard. Peter is not in there yet. So Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, John, who was known to the high priest, went out to get Peter and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door. So it must have been totally safe, low crime, because you got a servant girl being the guardian of who gets to come in and come out. And so you have a servant girl, a non-threatening person, at the door, and they brought Peter into the courtyard. This servant girl talks to Peter, said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." That's denial number one. Now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire. So it's cold, we're told. So what do? Like today, you made a charcoal fire. Now one thing you have to make sure and remember in John 18 here, the servants and officers, these were the people who arrested and bound Jesus and took him. So now Peter is hanging out with those guys. Because it was cold and they were standing around warming themselves, Peter also was with them standing and warming himself. So now Peter is sitting there warming himself by the fire, by the people who had just recently just arrested and took Jesus into this mock trials that he's having. The high priest Annas then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him. So Annas was trying to say, I think you've been building this conspiracy, you secretly having stuff with your disciples and his teaching. Jesus said, I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have done nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers, temple police guy, standing by, struck Jesus with his hand and said, is that how you answer the high priest? And he's not technically the high priest, Caiaphas was, but it's kind of like if you're a president of the United States, you're the president, Mr. President, your whole rest of your life. So it's one of those deals. So he says, Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? And he's just pointing out, I'm telling you the truth. Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. I'm bringing this up again. So that they said to him, you're also not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it. And I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once the rooster crowed. Then, verse 28, they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor, Pontius Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. So the reason you know it's early in the morning, because the rooster started crowing. And this I read up on this. You got a rooster, you could be anywhere on planet Earth, and it starts crowing about 30 minutes before the sun comes up. So the rooster was crowing, so it helps us timestamp, because Jesus at 9 o'clock in the morning is nailed to a tree. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters. And so under Jewish law, they go up, picture Pilate's got this place, he's got a door, he's got a courtyard. A courtyard doesn't have a roof over it, and then he has his palace. The Jewish people, they believed that we can go into his courtyard, because if it doesn't have a roof over it, we're technically not in a Gentile's place, because if we hang out in a Gentile's house, we'll be defiled and we can't take the Passover. So that's what they're told. They said, they themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. And I mentioned this last week, is that they were worried about maintaining their purity so that they were qualified to take part in the Passover. What Jesus came to do is he says, you have no purity. You need to have the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb is that which allows you to be undefiled. So he's the one that comes to make us not defiled. Matthew's comment on this, Peter remembered then the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Luke chapter 22, and Jesus, this is Luke's version of the Last Supper. So Jesus had told him, this isn't measured like a month ago he told me that. This was the prior part of the evening. And Jesus says to him, Simon, Simon. Now he's using his given Jewish name, Simon. And you remember Jesus renamed him Peter, which means the rock. But he's saying, you're acting in your humanity, not in your God-given identity. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I, Jesus, have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, because this is going to go down, you're going to deny me, but when you turn again, what I want you to do the rest of your life is strengthen the brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, Peter, I tell you, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. Mark chapter 3, this has to do with the naming. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he gave the name Peter. So you, that whole thing. So in a sense, we all have our identity in Christ. And he was operating out of his humanity, Peter was, because he got fearful, he got afraid. Mark chapter 16, and he, this is an angel, this is at the resurrection, and he, the angel, said to the women who were at the tomb on Sunday morning, do not be alarmed. And let me, before I keep reading this, let me just comment. The rest of this lesson is about Peter blew it. He regretted it deeply. He was weeping bitterly. And so Peter is absolutely, at this point, he is convinced that he flunked out of discipleship school. His role is over. And so the very Sunday morning, you seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? And so the angel, Jesus said, hey, when everybody shows up, here's what I want you to tell these ladies. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. Now, why did he single out Peter? Because Peter's like, I'm not a disciple anymore. And says, and Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So I'm going to fast forward, and we'll look at this again later in a couple of weeks or months. John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, this is the most beautiful picture of somebody like a Peter who blew it, thinks I'm not qualified, God can't use me anymore, and the restoration that Jesus has here. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, so he's still hanging out with all the guys, he says to them, I'm going fishing, because that's what he did for a living in his life. I'm going to go fishing. So they all said, we'll go with you. They went out, got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Luke chapter 5. Getting into one of the boats, so Jesus, he's just called Simon. He says, he gets inside of a boat because the crowds are so big. He says, I'm going to get inside your boat. We're going to push off just a little bit from shore, and I'm going to teach. And he said, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night, took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled up both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So that's all part of his original calling. So we're told that just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So here's this guy on the shore, Jesus, they don't know who it is. He says, children, do you have any fish? And they answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. He's saying, this is going to ring, set some memory bells off on you, Peter. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, aka John, therefore said, Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And we're told he swims back in. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. So Peter jumps in, swims 100 yards, and gets there before they got there with all the fish. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place. Okay, charcoal fire in place is only used two times in all the Bible. The time that it's used most before is in the courtyard where Peter is warming himself by the charcoal fire with all the people that arrested Jesus, which the fish laid out on bread. So here's what it was in John 18. Now the servants and the officers, those are the people who arrested Jesus, made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. So when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus takes Simon Peter away, a little bit out of earshot, and says to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus says, this is like restoration, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said it to him then a third time. Notice that. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved. Why was he grieved? Because it's, I see what you're doing there, Jesus. You're reminding me that I denied you three times. Because he said to them the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So closing with this, for Ephesians 2:8-9, familiar passage, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this faith is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast." So Peter had already been, God, Jesus prayed over him. He says, "You know what? I'm going to pray for you. Satan's trying to get you, but I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. And your faith is not going to fail, Peter, because it's a faith that I gave you." Acts 13:48, "When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." So I want you to take all of that, and we're going to finish with a passage from Peter in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and then verses 3 and 7. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. After everything that he did, he denied Christ three times. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And as we look through this, I want you to think about Peter. You know, he never recovered probably from the fact he goes, "I denied Christ three times, and he was so kind to me and restored me." So listen to this. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy that he's shown me. He has caused us to be born again." It wasn't something I did. "He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith." So Peter's telling these people that he's now feeding, this sheep that he's talking to, he said, "God's power is guarding my faith, through which for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, and the this is, I've got God guarding my faith. In this you rejoice now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the purpose, the tested genuineness of your faith." So he's saying, don't be surprised if things come in But all it's doing is going to reveal to you that your faith is not going to fail. More precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. I love Jesus' interactions with Peter. So the takeaway on that, which is obviously self-evident, all of us, you can look back and say, you know, I had a season of life where I was a prodigal. I had this or that. But you can say is that this is really perseverance of the saints right here in living color. So let me close this, and then I'll see you guys next week. Father, to each one of us in this room, you caused us to be born again. We didn't think it was a good idea and that we would do all this and do that. You caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, our faith is a gift from you. It's something that you're guarding with your great power. It's not going to fail. Even when we fail and we are faithless, you remain faithful. Oh, Lord, great, great mercy has been shown to us and great, great grace. May we really remember that during this Christmas season, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Like Jesus, you are the Lamb without blemish. You took our sin. It's been completely paid for. We are secure. In Jesus' name, amen.